I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 1st, 2025, and today we're going to go on a journey to attempt to put a number on the amount of money laundering going on in Canada in Canadian dollar terms, as well as the value of the illicit drug market, both in smuggling and domestic consumption. And you're going to be surprised, because I was surprised as I worked on this all of last night and this morning, how hard it is to find a number. In fact, a number, an official number of drugs seized and money laundering activity does not exist. The government either doesn't know, which is scary enough on its own, or it resists the gathering of information to give Canadians an accurate total. But it wasn't always this way. So let us proceed. In all of my years of making video and written content and various other activities, I've never struggled more with how to present something, how to derive a number, and then how to present it, because there's so much that's gone on and gone into this thinking that it's difficult to present it all in order. But this is an old article, and this cites old data, when we used to have total data. The value of drugs seized in 2007 had a street value of more than $2.6 billion. Now that is in 2007 dollars. That's before inflation, but we'll get back to that. Drug seizures have continued in Canada and have continued to grow. If we look at population and we go back to 2007, the population stood at 32.8 million, and we have to go up another 7 million or so to get to 2025, and that's an estimate. We're probably over 40 million now, considering we don't even know how many people are in the country. But that's a net population increase of 7 million, roughly 20%, give or take a few percentage points. Building on the backdrop of the video work that I've already done, we know that the precursor chemicals and the people taking the most advantage of Canada come primarily from Asia, China, and India. It's a big thing. It's a big known thing. Look at the names of the people who are getting busted. Look at the networks that are being broken up. Look at the official recognition from Canada Border Services, the RCMP, the DEA. China is your primary source for precursor chemicals. And the point I'm trying to make with this article is it goes back 20 years. We have a long history of this. Immigration figures between 2005 and 2007 show that Chinese and Indian immigrants into Canada outnumbered those of other nations by at least 2 to 1. These two countries have led immigration figures since 1990 and perhaps earlier. Family and business ties to their home countries facilitate the trafficking of precursor chemicals or drugs such as heroin into Canada. And you could add to that now fentanyl and all the other derivatives, methamphetamines. I would have you note that in 2005 and 2007, your streets and your parks were not filled with drug addicts, fent zombies, and meth heads. We had a clean society. It was safe to walk the streets. You didn't see open drug use on public transit. You see that now. So you have to understand that the problem has grown for all of Canada. And you have to understand that as Canada has grown by the 20% that I'm highlighting since 2007, the source of our immigration is primarily India and China. So those ties, which are alluded to in this article and which are a known quantity, have only grown as a factor of your population, because the population itself is not growing through fertility. Fertility has been in decline. So the population has been in decline, but that decline is hidden because we're doing mass immigration. All that is to say, the numbers scale up, not down. So if I use a number for 2007, it's a low number, which is why I have settled on it. So in order to dispense with this article, we're just going to put $2.6 billion in our calculator, and we're going to minimize that, and we're going to close this, and we're going to move on to all of the drug busts. So in the process of researching for this video, I tried to do some manual math on fentanyl, cocaine, and methamphetamine seized in Canada. And what I found, there are too many busts to count. I'm going to just start with the biggest one. RCMP says they have busted the largest, most sophisticated drug super lab in Canada. Net value of $500 million. One bust. Now remember, our figure that we're going to use is $2.6 billion. Dollars from 2007. This is one bust that's $500 million. And rather than read all of the individual busts, you can do that yourself on your own time. I'm just going to give you some general statistics. In the Greater Toronto Area alone, 10,000 kilos of drugs were seized in 2024. That's an estimate. Quebec region, 3,672 illegal drug seizures just in Quebec. Prairie region had 1,594 seizures of illegal drugs. That is just Canada Border Services. That is not lab bus. That is not domestic bus. That's just the CBSA. We don't even have data for Atlantic Canada. And we don't have specific data for BC and huge hubs like Vancouver, Toronto, and indeed Halifax when it comes to drug trafficking and money laundering. And we're going to get into money laundering next. But I want you to understand how low the $2.6 billion figure that I am going to use actually is. Reality is going to be much higher. So let's do some math. Before I introduce the math that's going to underpin our estimate of the size of the illicit drug trade here in Canada, we're going to take our already low number, probably the lowest number possible, in $2,007, and we're going to allow ourselves to convert it to $2,025. Dollars. We have to adjust for inflation. I think that's fair. So we're going to just do the math, and it's $3,910,000,000. Now, we're adjusting for inflation, and you have to keep in mind, we are not adjusting for the increase in the population. We're not adjusting for the fact that your parks and your cities are filled with fence zombies and meth heads. We are not accounting for that. We are not accounting for the societal difference between 2007 and now. And enforcement, even though we have very liberal bail conditions, we have very liberal sentencing, so we are turning criminals loose at a scale that defies the imagination of somebody living in 2007. We are not accounting for that. We are just accounting for inflation. So again, I want you to understand that all the things that we're failing to account for apply downward pressure on a realistic number estimating the size of the drug market in Canada. This number is just the amount seized by all levels of law enforcement. You must understand that. So now we take our $3.9 billion. And the numbers you have on screen are my derivation from the Drug Enforcement Agency and the statistics that are available to me from Canadian sources. There's a lot of them. I could go through all of them, but what I would rather do is come up with an average. And you can go ahead and take this work and you can go and challenge it. You should know from watching my content that I'm not in the business of lying to you or misleading you or trying to get your clicks or trying to present a terrible case. I'm trying to present accurately, and that's what these numbers are. The estimate is that of the cocaine seized, the ratio is for every pound seized, there's 20 pounds that make it to market, upwards to 100 pounds. So it's a 20-to-1 to 100-to-1 ratio of drugs that make it to market, cocaine that makes it to market versus cocaine that is seized. For fentanyl, the ratio is 30 pounds to market for every one seized, upwards to 97-to-1. It's with meth and heroin, it's 20-to-1 to 101. You get the point. I don't think I have to belabor the explanation. So the market is much bigger than what we seize. If you think that every bit of drugs is seized or that it's a small ratio, just look around you at the homeless camps. Look at the fence zombies. Look at the meth heads. It's everywhere. It's increased dramatically. So we're going to pick an arbitrary number out of these that is the low side of average. So we're going to settle on 40-to-1. I think everybody can agree if you take all three of these together, your average would be about 50-to-1. We're going to go with 40-to-1. So we're going to assume, and it is an assumption, but I think it's an educated assumption, that the drug market in Canada is 40 times the size of that which is seized. So we just simply multiply by 40 to arrive at $156 billion. If you think this number is in any way unrealistic, just go back and examine the work that I've done in my previous video and in this one, and you'll understand that this is low side, not high side. Not to belabor the point, but we have here our low ball estimate of the value of drug trafficking in Canada. Now we have to move on to money laundering. Canada is seen as more corrupt as money laundering estimates hit $113 billion per year, 2021. Now, you'll see in the article, just so you don't think I'm misleading you, they provide a range of $43 to $113 billion. But if we look at billions in money laundering increased BC housing prices, they estimate that $7 billion in dirty money was laundered in BC in 2018. The reason I pick old data is not to mislead you, because the situation has gotten worse, not better. The laws have gotten more liberal, not more conservative. So $7 billion pushes the price of a home up about 5% in 2018. What happened in 2022? The housing market ballooned in 21 and 22. It is ballooning now, and a lot of that ballooning is down to money laundering. If money laundering increased prices by 5% then, how much influence is money laundering having now? A secret police study finds crime networks could have laundered over $1 billion through Vancouver homes in 2016. That's just homes. $1 billion in 2016 becomes $7 billion in 2018. Do you see a pattern? Do you see a trend? Considering the scale of the problem and how it's only gotten worse, do you not see that it's reasonable for us to take the high side number in this instance? We're going to go with $113 billion as the annual number for money laundering in this country. I think, once again, that is low side, not high side, especially when you consider the things I've talked about in the last several videos. But we're going to go with the low number of $113 billion, and we're not going to adjust for inflation from 2021 to 2025, even though there has been massive inflation due to government money printing and loose monetary policy. We're going to keep our 2021 dollars for this instance, and we're just going to go ahead and we're going to add it to our total. And there you have it, $269 billion. And before we get to the climax of this video, I just want to throw you a couple things. This is from Blender News. This is an interview. Canadian border agent whistleblower, we are going to face our worst nightmare. Former CBSA officer, and there's his handle, you can go and find him, exposes systemic corruption and mismanagement within CBSA. Warning of a looming national security crisis. Sabarin reveals that over 300,000 travel documents, including 283,000 blank passports, have been stolen, exploited by transnational crime networks. So we have all of these points. Criminals and terrorists stole 283,000 blank passports. CBSA sacrificing safety for quick immigration approvals. How did CBSA react to passport thefts? Destruction of important documents at the CBSA. How have public officials reacted to whistleblowing? Is the CBSA incompetent or corrupt? You know from watching my videos what I would say. Even Daniel Smith, she is using provincial police to enforce the border, bypassing the CBSA, because she does not trust the federal government. And she is signaling this publicly to anybody who has eyes to see and ears to hear. I am telling you of the scale of corruption in Canada. Check this out. Ryan Gerritsen. Now, this is just about 8 kilos of fentanyl that was busted. This was a person that was promoted by the CBC, dancing and laughing and having a good time years ago, is now busted as part of a fentanyl ring. Who is the CBC funded by? The federal government. Why is this guy getting promoted? Why does this keep happening? Why do people that are in the media keep getting tied up in crime? You answer that question on your own. But what I found interesting is all of these busts from people, so-called Ontarians, Arizona, 550 pounds of cocaine, Amarjit Singh, Michigan, 123 pounds of cocaine, Sukrach Singh, Port Huron, 370 pounds of cocaine, Sukinder Singh. You can click show more, and it will show you more. You can look at the last names of the people who have been busted in the biggest drug bust in Canadian history in recent weeks. And what's their last name? There's a bunch of connections here. Nobody seems to be wanting to connect the dots on the scale of the problem. So what is the point of all this research? What is the point of all this math? I'm going to show you right now. So we take our $269 billion. And we divide that $269 billion by Canada's GDP. We're going to go with 2025's estimate. We shouldn't. But we're going to, because it will further reduce the impact of our number. It will further reduce the number itself. And I remind you that I'm doing everything in my power to make this number as low as I possibly can. $269 billion, I remind you, is the sum total of money laundering and drug trafficking value in Canada. So we divide that number by 2.2 trillion. And you arrive at 0.12. Now, what does that translate to? 12%. 12% of Canada's GDP is derived through money laundering and drug trafficking. A conservative estimate. 12% of GDP derived from money laundering and drug trafficking alone. We're not talking about auto theft or any other type of crime. We're just talking about those things, and it is a low number. To put that in perspective, look at the people around you. If every 10th person that comprised civil society was engaged in crime, that would be 4 to 5 million of your fellow Canadians and pseudo-Canadians, because a lot of these people aren't even Canadian. That is a huge number. So when you sit there and you try to tell me that Trump isn't serious when he talks about Canada as a money laundering and drug capital of the world, when our very government, our very mass media, and the world itself recognizes Canada for an incredible level of global corruption. In my previous videos talking about how terrorists use this portion of our GDP to fund their operations, Hezbollah, Khalistani separatists, you name it, China, we're a clearing house for all of these people. Do you understand the scale of what I'm talking to you about right now? Go ahead, try and refute it. Try to downplay it. How can you have such a large portion of your economy tied to organized crime and not have official complicity on behalf of government? You can't even find official numbers tracking this stuff. You have to do the deep research yourself, and you have to do the math yourself to come up with an estimate. I kept it low because the number is so high. It's almost unfathomable. Canada isn't a quiet little cottage country. Canada isn't a bastion of global freedom and good law. Canada is hiding a huge secret, and the Trump administration has called it out. And the millions and millions of Canadians right now uniting under the banner of Team Canada are uniting behind the continued hiding of this problem, the continued downplay of this. When they talk about tariff wars, when they talk about trade wars, instead of dealing with this problem, they're uniting behind this corruption. This corruption, a larger driver of the rising price of food, the rising price of housing, than any other factor that anybody in politics is talking about right now. We are all collectively talking about the wrong thing. Believe it or not, the only person highlighting this problem is Donald Trump and his administration. And it's an interesting thing, as a final note, that he talks about $200 to $250 billion being sent to Canada. That's the number he uses in U.S. dollars. It's awfully close to the number I came up with in Canadian dollars for the size of this economy. Is that a hidden message in plain sight? I don't know, but I do know that he is dead serious when he talks about the level of corruption, and I do know that Daniel Smith and Scott Moe are taking him seriously because they know, and I would say, based on their actions and their approaches, they're not in on it. I can't say that about the rest of the people in this country one way or another, the rest of the people running this country one way or another. Now sit with that. Watch my other videos. Read the books I talk about. Look at the documents. Do your own research and try to make a case that this isn't real. Canadians are woefully misinformed. You'll see a graph. I seen it a dozen times last night. I was up way too late responding to people on Twitter as I was doing this research. And I seen the graph pop up over and over again about drug seizures at the Canadian border and how they're a fraction of what's being seized out of Mexico. The seizures at the border are a fraction of the problem. That's why that graphic, you're not informed if you share it. I don't think these people are being deliberately deceptive. I think they're being political. I think they're tied and they're dedicated in their Trump derangement syndrome, or tied and dedicated to their loyalty of left-wing politics, that they think this one simple, very simplistic graph can somehow dismiss the scale of the problem. The answers you're looking for cannot be found in one graphic. They're incredibly hard to present in video format without taking 20 minutes, and I'm not even presenting a complete picture. It would take 3 hours. People don't have the attention span that I do to understand this stuff. And I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying I have a problem. Other people do social things. Other people do sports. Other people do hobbies. I don't. My whole life is this stuff. I want to understand why things are the way they are. So here is the scale of the problem. Thank you for watching, and if you appreciate this work, please consider supporting it, and thank you for everybody who has. You're not many, but I appreciate every single one of you, and I may not reach out to give you special attention, but I do that, so it's not a pay-for-access junket. I provide the information freely so that you can come to understand accurately the situation that we're in right now in this historic moment where our very country might be on the line. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.